a lot here. In any event, we're going to go through verse by verse. And we got here, it says, now it came about after these things that Joseph was being told, behold, your father is sick. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him. So what Joseph is finding out here, he just hears, hey, dad is sick. Dad is sick. And so he gets his two sons. He names the oldest one first because that's what he does, Manasseh and Ephraim, and he takes them with him. So he hears that they're sick. I mean, you just heard just now a number of people that are sick, right? I just prayed with you for four different people. So the question is, what do you do with that? You know, what do you do with that? Joseph rushes off to visit him. If you're a dad, if you're a relative, if you're a wife, if you're a son, if you're a daughter, if you're a best friend, you go off to visit him. You visit him. It means a lot. And so he's dying. You know, everything in the Bible, every single word in here, every single phrase is here to teach us something. God is into the details. He's just not into the macro. So he rushes off. And recall what Jesus said in Matthew. I thought about this. Matthew 25, 36. What did he say? He said, I was sick and what? You visited me. Now we know that they didn't visit Jesus in the hospital when he was sick. Jesus was saying that. He says, because when you visited them, you did it on to me. This is the heart of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is telling us, when you visited them, you visited me. And God loves them. He loves them. I think what we do is we don't visit the sick. We don't visit the dying. I think a lot of times because we're afraid. We're afraid. We're thinking of ourselves. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? We're worried about going to a funeral for that same reason. Hey, let me just suggest right now, stop it. Pray. Say, God, have me say what you want me to say. The burden comes off of you and you put it on to where Jesus wants it, him. Let him do it. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Don't think. Bible says, don't think about what you're going to say when you go in here and talk about this and do that. It says, don't worry too much about it. It's not that we're not preparing here. That's not the point there. But the point is, the Holy Spirit will guide you. God, think about this. Every time you visit somebody, who loves the person you're visiting more than you? God. Who loves your child more than you? God. Who loves you more than you? God. Okay. So, I mean, this is serious stuff. Okay. So let's read verse 2. Maybe we'll actually get through four verses. Verse 2. When it was told to Jacob, behold, your son Joseph had come, Israel collected his strength and he sat up in bed. The first thing he does is he hears, hey, that's good news. He sets up. He was sick. You know, he's going through that. When you go visit somebody, their disposition changes. I mean, I just saw a friend of mine in a hospital just not too long ago. And I could tell that when I went in there, he got a smile on his face. I went and saw them home. Smile on his face. I have a friend and other friends are sick. When I go see him, they get a smile on their face. Why? They're happy. They're happy that somebody that loves them and cares for them has come in to share with them, to pray with them or whatever. They're happy. So what Jacob's doing here, he gets a smile on his face. And he sets up, I got my strength. You know, visiting somebody gives them strength. And so I just wanted to say that. So then we get in here, basically in verse 3 through 4, let's read this. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And he said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and numerous, and I will make you a company of peoples. And I will give you this land to your descendants and after you for what? For an everlasting possession. So he's saying a few things here. One, he says, look, I'm going to give you a population. I'm going to give you a people. And I'm actually going to give you a place. And the place that I'm going to give you is Canaan. And the population that I'm going to give you is what's going to lead Egypt with you. Over 2 million people is what some say. And I'm going to give it to you, to who? To the people that are descendants of Abraham, that I said are going to be blessed to bless the world. So they're going to give it to it for an everlasting possession. It's amazing that God made this promise about this land. And we think about Israel. I thought about this when I read this too and thought about it, is that this isn't not, God says, what type is this? It's an everlasting possession. Well, how long is everlasting? Everlasting. It's everlasting. And who gave it? God. Let me ask you this. The earth and all it contains is whose? God's. The earth and all contains is the Lord. Does God have a right to give his possession to whom he wants?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So he made a decision. So right now, we have all this argument about Israel, but the fact was, back in Abraham's time, it hasn't changed. God made a decision. He didn't say, I'm going to take this away from you later. He says, it's an everlasting position. God's going to have some problems if he goes back on his word. Matter of fact, I don't want him to be my God. Do you want God that doesn't tell the truth? No, God tells the truth, an everlasting possession. Now, the possession of that land may have changed many times. You know, 1948, it finally was given back to Israel, and it was surrounded. I mean, Israel itself it's probably about 800 square miles smaller than New Jersey. But it's surrounded by, say, every single state. It's like putting Texas and Alaska and California and every other state around it with the populations. It's interesting, that little tiny country, the whole world basically wants to destroy. And yet, here it is. The possession changed. I mean, at one point it was Israel, then it was Palestinians, and then it was Turks, and then it was, you know, the Romans, and then it was this, and went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But that doesn't matter. God is going to protect it. How can that be? How can God protect something so tiny by so many that have vowed that they want it destroyed? Whether or not they do something wrong or they're not doing things right, that's not the point of what I'm saying here. The land is going to be Israel's. And that's what God is saying here. So then he says this. He says, in Genesis 28:14, God told Jacob this. He explains it further there. He says, at Bethel, his first encounter, he says, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. I am with you. I wouldn't want to be alone in that little tiny country if that wasn't the case. And I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to Israel. And I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised. You would think God, he said that once, but he keeps saying it over again. He says, behold, I'll make you fruitful, he said to Jacob. He says, and it's reminiscent of his promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis 17. And I think these are the exact words of God's covenant with Abraham to his inheritors. And Jacob repeats those covenant words. Isaac repeats those covenant words in Genesis 26. I think the words in the land of Canaan and the Jews are part of God's purpose and plan to bring the opportunity of salvation to everyone. Way back in Genesis, God said what to Abraham? I am blessing you to be a blessing to what? The whole world. We don't make the plans. God makes the plans. It's his purpose to use the Jews to bring gospel message to the entire world. He's going to bless the Gentiles through them because it's out of them that he's going to bring Jesus Christ. His purpose, his plan will not be thwarted. But that's what he's doing. And so he gets upset throughout the Old Testament with the Jews and says, look, I blessed you to be a blessing. I blessed you to share the good news. I blessed you to demonstrate that God Almighty is sovereign. And yet you're not living like that. So, you know, they go through this blessing and the curse, but they're not receiving the blessing off it. And the question is, are you going to receive the blessing that God has given you? He's given you blessings. So you need to receive it. So I notice here, when I thought about this too, is Jacob sitting there, and what he's basically doing, imagine the scene a little bit. I want to take you back into the scene. Joseph's up there with his two sons. His sons could be teenagers, I don't know, but they're sitting right there near him. It's a little bit like Joseph of Gideon testimony here. He's telling about his past, and he's telling who God is. And so the question I have to ask you is, do you give your testimony in a sense, or do you think it's a good idea to let your children and your grandchildren and those that you've related to you kind of know how God has worked in your life, how God has delivered you, how God has taken care of you? You know, I think it's important. I had some of my children home this last week, and I remember mentioning to them, my wife and I prayed for this daughter because God gave us a message to pray for, in a sense, and we prayed for it. And they hear this. You need to hear that, because they don't shy away. Don't ever be embarrassed to tell your children and your grandchildren about what God has done for you. Don't ever be embarrassed. So let me go through here. So in verse 5-6, let's read this. It says, Now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. But your offspring that have been born after them shall be yours, and they shall be called by the names of their brothers and their inheritance. So it's interesting here that he's saying, okay, normally the right of the firstborn was that whoever oldest gets a double portion of the blessing. So what's going to happen here is he's saying, no, that's Reuben was the firstborn, but we're not going to see this now, but later on in the next chapter, Bill is going to talk about it. But Reuben, that right is going to be taken away. Why? Because he went ahead and he actually violated his covenant with his father by having sex with his father's concubine, who was his wife. And God says, oh, no. That right is taken away from you now. You just violated it, and that's going to be taken away, and it's going to be given to someone else. It could go to Simeon next, but it's not going to go to Simeon. We're going to see it goes to someone else as we read through this chapter, and that someone else is going to be Joseph. That someone else is going to be Joseph. It's kind of like, remember, have a game Jenga? Jenga has all these blocks, and they go like this, 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 and they stack them up. And you pull out one and try to keep it from falling down, okay, and put it on top or whatever. I don't know. It's a little bit like Joseph is number 11 in that hierarchy of 12. He's not number one. He's number 11. God decides, and Jacob confirms by the Holy Spirit what he's going to do, decides he's going to take out that little block out of number 11, and he's going to put it up there on top as number one. Okay, I hope that picture kind of helps you. Okay, that's what's happening here in terms of the blessing. So in verse 7, now Jacob's talking. He says, now as for me, when I came to Padam, Rachel died to my sorrow in the land of Canaan on the journey, when there is still some distance to go to Ephraim. And I buried her there on the way to Ephraim. The Ephraim is known as Bethlehem. So he buried her. So he takes a little bit of a side here. Joseph is sitting next to him, and he tells him about his lovely wife, who he really loved. And he basically says to her, this is thy wife. This was your mother, Rachel. And I think it's kind of touching. He loves her, but two, his son, Joseph, lost his mom. And he's saying, hey, I loved your mom. I loved your mom. And so then when Israel, let's read this. We're going to verse 8-9. It says, verse 8 here. When Israel saw Joseph's son, he said, who are these? I don't know if he has macular degeneration now or cataracts, but he's having some trouble seeing. Okay. And then in 9, Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me. So he said, bring them to me, please, that I may bless them. So he's going to bless them. And I read a verse. I heard about this verse and I read it and I thought about it later. It's actually a little confusing to me at first, but there's a verse in Hebrews. You know, Hebrews, we all know Hebrews is the faith chapter, right? If you read it, faith is this, faith is that. And he starts going through all the patriarchs of the faith in our mind, maybe perhaps. And one of them is Jacob. And here's what it says in Hebrews 11:21. You can look this up if you like. It says, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshiped God, leaning on the top of his staff. Interesting, isn't it? He said, by faith, he blessed Joseph's sons and worshiped. Who did he worship? God Almighty. He said, remember, he said, God Almighty met me at Luz or Bethel. Who is God Almighty? God Almighty is God Almighty. It's El Shaddai. You know, the names of God are really important too. The names of God, of who God is, are important. El Shaddai means there is no one mightier. He can do anything. When the Bible says in Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, Most High is El Elyon, means that there is no one higher. You can't get higher. God picks these names to tell you things about himself. He shall dwell in the shelter of who? The Most High. It's the one safe place you can be, is in the shelter of the Most High. That's what Psalm 91 is for you. It's a safe place where El Shaddai puts his wings over you. And El Shaddai takes care of you. So he's having faith here. And I thought about it, what that means is he's proclaiming it. He's proclaiming. Remember, he said the exact words of what God told him. And faith, it says in that chapter, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jacob hasn't seen yet what's going to happen. God's talked to him in the Holy Spirit, but he actually hasn't seen it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And God honors that because he says, what I proclaim and what I say, I want you to have faith. For it is impossible to please God with what? Without faith. You will never please God without faith. God is pleased here. Why? And he puts it into the Bible as Hebrews. And he basically says, Jacob had faith. If you want to be listening to the Bible, see, have faith. Have faith. Trust God in his word. That's what he's saying. Trust me in my word. And Jacob is proclaiming and reiterating what God said to him. And I think sometimes we need to speak back to God the promises that he made to us. That demonstrates faith. The Bible says in Psalm 91:2, it says, I will say to my God, you are my refuge and my strength. You are my God in whom I trust. It doesn't say, I will think to my God. It says, I will say to my God. It doesn't say, if you believe in your heart and you imagine in your mind, you'll be saved. It says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. There's something that actually says, speak forth the word that God gives you. Say it to him. Repeat back to God what he says. Do that sometimes. Say, God, you told me this. God's going to be bothered about that? No. I mean, I've done that with my wife. Joan, you said this. You know? And we get reminded of what our promises are. We say, yeah, I'm a God. You know, the Bible's clear. He's faithful even when you're not. That's what James says. Don't worry about God being faithful. Worry about you being faithful. God's going to be faithful. So let's keep going. Gosh, we're going to get through this. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your children as well. Joseph didn't expect to see their face. You know, it's interesting. Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you, for a future and a hope. God has a purpose and he has a plan for you. You don't see that. He says, no eye has seen. It says what God has in store for you, or ear heard. Now, it's talking a little bit about once you die and you go to heaven, but it's also talking about your future often. You don't know what God has in store for you. You don't know the things. You know, some things look darkest, is, you know, pretty bad. Before the dawn. Before the dawn. Look for that, you know, look for the morning, in a sense. Seek the morning. Anyway, verse 12, let's see here. Then Joseph took them from his knees and bowed with his face to the ground. Every detail is important. Joseph takes his kids and he bows to the ground. He's the second most powerful man in Egypt, all of his, for the last 17 years or whatever, more than that. There is no one more powerful. And yet he still bows to the ground and honors his father. He knows he honors his father, you know? That's the one commandment that Moses says has a promise with it. Honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you. And your days may be longer. Yes. So anyway, he honors them. And now we're going to get like the blessing here, which is in 13 through 22. And we'll kind of read through this. But I just want to point out the point of these verses. Here's the point, is to elevate Manasseh and Ephraim from being Joseph's sons to being counted as peers with Jacob's two oldest sons. That's what he's doing now. And he's basically going to first declare that, then he's going to explain what he's going to do, then he's going to perform an adoption, and then you're going to see the side effects. So basically what's happening here is that Joseph is going to take these sons, you have 12 sons, but instead Joseph himself isn't getting a tribe. His two sons are each getting a tribe. So rather than just having 12 tribes in this sense, you're going to have 13 tribes. It's going to be a baker's dozen, as I was talking to Chris about. The idea is that Ephraim and Manasseh are receiving the blessing. God says, I'm blessing you, Joseph. Why? Because he's blessing his sons. And Joseph feels blessed. Do you feel blessed when your kids get blessed? I mean, that's, I'd love that, you know. So basically the 12 are born, but Joseph's divided into two tribes and he gets a double portion. What did I say before? The oldest gets a double portion. Yeah, but God doesn't always make the oldest a double portion, you know. God doesn't always do the oldest a double portion. Sometimes what he does is he elevates the one that's least to the one that has preeminence. What happened? What happened to David? Bring all these out. Here's the oldest. He's the tallest. He's the best looking. Bring the next one. Da, da, da. Finally said, you have anybody else? Yeah, we have this little one. God says, put him up. That's what I'm going to do. God doesn't have to follow the rules that man makes. You know, he can do whatever he wants. Amen. Okay. Anyway, so then in verse 14, let's see here, it says, but Israel stretched out his hand, right hand, and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, though Manasseh was the firstborn. So here's Joseph. He takes his sons. He puts them before daddy. He says, can't see that well. I'm going to take this hand over here and put it on this kid. I'm going to take this hand over here and put it on this kid. The left hand is not, it's not as good as the right hand. The right hand is the right hand of blessing. It's one of the strength. It's everything else. 90% of the people in the world are white-handed. But so they're just saying that. It doesn't mean it's less about you if you're left-handed, okay? It was just the way God said, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. The idea was that you have the preeminence, okay? So Joseph basically does this, puts him there, and then Jacob, who's been talking to the Holy Spirit, takes those hands and goes, nope, like this. So imagine if you're Jacob, you're thinking, he just crossed my hands. He did a switcheroo. He's like, so what happened? What happened? So basically, Jacob says this in verse 15. He blessed Joseph. He says he blessed him by blessing his kids is what he's doing here. And said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life. Read these words too. Jacob, we talk negative about Jacob. Jacob just said, God's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He realizes, he doesn't say shepherd without understanding that he's a sheep. Psalm 100 says, we are his people and the sheep of his field, of his land. We are his sheep. Understand that God is your shepherd. He does. And then he said, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. The angel, whenever you see the, there, the article before angel means that this is an epiphany in a sense of God. This is either God the Father or God the Son. A theophany is another word for it too, is that, That's who was there. So he appeared to Jacob. God appeared to him. He's basically saying here. He said, bless the lads that they may live on and may my name live in them and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand in Ephraim's head, it displeased him. And he grasped his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph then said to his father, not so, my father, for this is the one of the firstborn. Place your right hand in him. But Joseph's father refused and said, I know, my son, I know he also will become a people and he also will be great. Whoever his younger brother shall be greater than he and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them and said, by you, Israel, will pronounce blessing, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. So he took who was basically, in this case, he put Ephraim who and Manasseh, who was the firstborn. Manasseh was the firstborn. He takes Ephraim. God switches it again. He says they're still going to be great, but Ephraim, as you know, becomes greater. How do we know that? Because later on, if you read the Bible, Israel is known as the northern kingdom. Judah is the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is often referred to. The center of it is Ephraim. It's the preeminent part of Israel. Yes, it is. God's got all this going on. I mean, they still haven't even left Egypt, which is 400 years later. Okay. And this is all coming to Joseph, who comes from God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, and then he says in verse 20, he says this here. He says, and Israel says this, behold, I'm about to die, Joseph, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. I mean, think about this. He's says, God will be with you and bring you back to lands of your fathers. When I thought about this, I know that he's going to bring the children back. He's going to bring the country. He's going to bring 2 million people back. He's going to establish Israel as a possession forever, et cetera. But Joseph himself came back. Do you ever watch the 10 Commandments with Charlton Heston? And they're leaving in these droves and they walk out and they're, and all of a sudden one of the scenes, there's a scene where they're carrying, they said, what are you carrying? We're carrying the bones of Joseph to the Holy Land. That scene came to my mind when I read this. And I thought to myself, yeah, God told the truth. They bury his bones. They bury his bones in Canaan, in the Holy Land, the everlasting possession. But God said more than 400 some years before, what God says, God does. Verse 22, and I will give you one more portion to your brothers, he says, which I took from the hand of the Amorite, my sword and my bow. He says, yeah, I'm going to give one more portion. I'm going to give a double portion to you through your children, Manasseh and Ephraim. That's what I'm doing. And Ephraim's going to be the predominant one. That's the 12 tribes of Israel that become the 13 tribes of Israel. And they go back and forth later on. One of the tribes, Levi, doesn't really have any land. But pretty much in the Old Testament, those tribes are not referred to as a tribe of Joseph. I think one time in Revelation it says Joseph, but it's still, it's referring to the two tribes. It's a blessing given, the double blessing given to Joseph. And that's pretty much the story of Genesis 48. Okay. Next week, we're going to be looking at Genesis 49. And pray for Lowell, because it's difficult to go through all the blessings of all these different people. And there's purpose and a plan to all of them as it goes. So we got some questions for you. I'm going to tell you what they are first, and then we're going to break up and just pray. But I think here's the questions. Did you ever receive a blessing from your father? Now, these questions are not important in the order I give them. You can choose whatever you want. Did you ever give a blessing to a family member? Talk about the impact or experience of visiting someone who's sick or dying. So just questions. Talk about a word the Lord spoke to you that you never forgot. Have you ever had God speak to you a word and you can't ever leave it? It's like they're even the exact words. That's happened to me. God has a word. Randy, who's joined the house, but had a word spoken to him, and it was an audible word. It says, you know, basically God's going to go before him. And so Randy heard that. He said, and then finally, what did being firstborn in your family mean, if anything? Anything at all? Okay. So anyway, let's go ahead. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you handle the details. Thank you, Lord, that there's so much beauty in your details. There's so much glory in your details, Lord. And we worship. We worship you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Now be with these men as they discuss your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.